Welcome to Live and Love Your Brand, a podcast to support you in sharing your message and mission with the world. I'm your host, Emma Lovell. I'm lovely by name, lovely by nature. I'm a personal branding specialist with a mission to support female entrepreneurs to live and love their brand. I've been running my business, Lovely Communications, for more than 12 years, and I can hand on heart say that my success has come from the strength of my personal brand. I believe in the power of owning and sharing our story. I want to help you own your story, shop consistently, and really put yourself out there. So here on the podcast, you'll find helpful tips, practical exercises, and joyful discussions that will inspire you to reconnect with your brand and communicate it more effectively. I'll be joined by incredible experts to discuss how personal branding can have a huge impact on your business and on your life. I'd love to hear from you, so please make sure to connect over on social media. You can find me on Instagram, at Lovely Comms, that's L-O-V-E-L-L-Y, double the L means double the life. Facebook, Lovely Communications, and you can join in the conversation in our lovely community, the Live and Love Your Brand Facebook group. Of course, make sure to come back weekly as each new episode drops. I can't wait to share with you how to gain clarity, build confidence, and increase connections, all by sharing your unique personal brand with the world. Lovely Communications is based on the Gold Coast and recognises Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as the first peoples of this place, now known as Australia. We are grateful for the continuing care of the lands, waterways and skies where we work, live, listen, learn and play. From here on Yugambeh country and from wherever you are listening, we respect the elders past, present and emerging. Welcome to the podcast today. I am pleased to introduce Kat Dunn, an online business manager, who is actually my online business manager. I am delighted to work with Kat, and I love the way she's showing up in the world and sharing her brand. And I actually have experienced the support that she offers. So of course I had to have her here. She's also on a total run of being on awesome podcasts and hearing her story across a number of them. Of course I had to have her on mine. So Kat Dunn works with coaches to scale their biz, increase their revenue and impact more peeps. She's got 15 years experience in comms, marketing, admin and EAVA, and she's your partner in time who has your back. She goes gooey over your clients, sets you up for success and gives you what you want most, time. She's a huge horror fan, and from a young age, Kat also moonlights as a professional scare actor. This woman is so dynamic. I have loved getting to know her and I love what she's doing in my business. Please enjoy listening to her story and her sharing so openly. Welcome, Kat Dunn. Welcome to the podcast, Kat Dunn.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm very excited.
So great to have you here. I met you on a call, but and then we had our own call, but it was thanks to another podcast that we are now working together.
Yes, the wonder of podcasts. It's actually amazing how much it can connect people. It's fantastic.
And you're on a bit of a roll with them. And so I was like, I need her as well. So you're hot property. So I had to get you on here as well. But please tell us, in your words, who are you?
Hi, listeners. So I'm Kat Dunn, and as you can probably hear, I'm not actually from Australia. I was originally born in England, and I'm very, very lucky to call Australia my home now. I love this country more than anything. And I've had a bit of a strange background in terms of I spent 14 years in corporate. I worked as an executive assistant, a personal assistant in communications and marketing and all the things. And didn't really know what it was I wanted to do. I just knew I was really good at organization and planning and strategy and supporting people. And when I came to Australia, obviously that horrible thing hit us for a couple of years. And I managed to get a job. And the job, obviously we had to work from home, which I've never done before. It's actually, before then in England, it was a big thing to work from home. Like, nobody ever did it. It was just unheard of. And I was enjoying being at home, but I wasn't really enjoying the role. And I really wanted to start my own business. I didn't know how the hell to go about it. I didn't know what to offer. And somebody told me about virtual assistant, and I'd never heard of it. And I said, what do you mean? What do I do? And they said, you basically do what you do now, but you get to pick your clients and you get to pick the tasks you do. And I was like, oh, light bulb. So I started my own business. I worked with a coach to figure out the business side of it and became a virtual assistant. Took off really well. I was very lucky. And then kind of moved into online business management because one of my clients started giving me more responsibility. And then one day called me that and I said, what on earth is an OBM? And then worked out what an OBM is and realized that actually the strategy and the support I was giving was a higher level than the VA support I was giving to other clients. And I actually loved it. I definitely thrived more in that space. So that's why I moved into OBM, and that's what I do now.
Yes, you do. And there is a difference, and some people do just call themselves that and they're not, but you absolutely are. And that strategy and support side was something that I was lacking. And what we've talked about quite a bit is the management piece, so online business manager. Because visionary CEOs, directors, scatterbrain, excited people like myself need somebody to manage them. And we're not always the best managers of ourselves. And I think that for anyone, like when you're trying to wear all the hats and do all the roles, there comes a time where that will hold you back. And support is a great word.
Yeah, because I do genuinely believe it's worth every business owner starting by wearing all the hats. And I know it feels stressful. And we go from working 9 to 5 to 24/7. It's not what you expect. It's not sitting on the beach drinking a cocktail. But it's the best way to really understand how your business works, what it needs. And then you find the gaps and the things that really light you up and the things that, you know, we're not really good at everything. And you can admit that. That's okay. We don't have to be a genius in every area of business. And then you can start to think, okay, who do I bring in to support me so you can actually reach the next level? Because when I first started my VA business, it was a side hustle and I was like fully booked all the time. And I knew if I didn't jump all in, I could never scale it. So it's the same thing. You just have to jump in feet first to discover all the areas. And then you go, all right, cool. Let's pass this over. Let's bring this person in. And maybe it's not an OBM. It could be something else, but that's absolutely fine. You figure out what works best for your business. And yes, you're not necessarily a manager. Like I cannot design anything. It makes me break out in a cold sweat. It freaks me out. If you say design a Canva post, design a website, I swear to God, no, I cannot do that. And I know that about myself, and that's fine. I used to offer social media services, and guess what? I'm not an expert in social media. You hire SMMs to do that, and I had to learn that the hard way. And so it's a good piece of business advice to businesses to do everything, but understand it's not forever, and you don't have to be the best at every single thing.
Yes, and just perhaps not for quite as long. So I did a lot of things on my own in my business for 10 years. And
wow,
I had a big epiphany, actually. I was walking in Texas, as you do, walking in Austin. And I had this moment where I went, yeah, like I have done all these things myself. I have made them myself, or I've done them on, you know, my first logo design was done by a friend because she had InDesign, you know, so it just was like, can you just turn my tattoo into a logo? Like, so it had a lot of, which is great. Like I'd have run a successful business on a shoestring, but it's like, I'm going to this next level and I'm asking people to invest in me, but I'm not investing in myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. And that's when I sort of got someone in to do my website. I had a WordPress site. I can, you know, just the other day I went and changed something on Kajabi. I can do it. And I think I agree with you, like having understanding and knowledge of across the different areas. So, you know, what you're talking about, you can direct better, but trying to do it all yourself long-term, you'll just hit a ceiling. You cannot get past a certain point. And I was 100% at that point, or I would bring people in for short terms. So I'd be like, I'm so busy, I'm so frantic, I'll bring this person in. I'm sure you get these calls, Kat. Like, I'm so busy. Yeah. Come in and do it today and fix everything today. And this is the guidance I give anyone now. It's a, but you know, you have to have that onboarding, you have to have that time. And then what would happen is the work would dry up because I probably wasn't doing the marketing. No, I definitely wasn't doing the marketing, the ongoing. So then I'd have to let that person go. So it was like these subcontractors that would come in and I'd have a relationship with them. But I realized
again, around that 10-year mark, that I was like, I need the consistency in my business. And they just have to become, it's just a fixed cost of the business that I have these people in support roles, or whether it's bookkeeping or whatever it is. I need that support in order to run my business so I can do the things that I'm good at.
Yeah, I completely agree. But there's also, for people who are scared about outsourcing, like, it is okay to know as well that you don't have to work together forever. Yes. So sometimes it's a case of, I've got a client at the moment who I've passed her over to a VA agency friend of mine who's amazing, because she doesn't need me anymore. I came in and set up all the systems and processes and got her set to scale, and she doesn't actually need the OBM ongoing support. So if we'd known that at the time, I could have like worked on a project management basis. But I'm actually, it's okay. Like, I know I've kind of did such a good job, I've got myself out of a job, which is a bit silly. But it's like understanding the client's needs. And for yourself and your business, obviously we'll work together ongoing, because there's a lot of things we want to, obviously, you know, you're going to take over the world and I'm there every step of the way. But this particular client, it was actually more, yeah, I just need this system set up. I need these SOPs, which is a standard operating procedure for anyone that doesn't know, which is basically how your business runs and all the systems you use. And she doesn't need me now. And I do not feel comfortable taking money or time from a business owner when they don't need my expertise, when I could go and help somebody else. But even in my own business, I've just now hired my first bookkeeper. I've hired my first, my second accountant. And I'm like, next year, you know, I've got these big financial goals. And I knew I needed that support because, again, numbers is not my strongest or most likable thing in my business. I know we should look at our numbers better, but I need someone else to come in with their expertise and tell me exactly how to basically improve what I'm doing there. So I'm learning this as well. I don't do everything in my own business, and I can't.
But also it's that, like, that spending that money, and that can actually, especially with accounting and bookkeeping, they can save you money. Like, yes, you can do it. And that, you know, there are different personality types who find it harder to let go of things as well. But, you know, the amount, I got an amazing tax return that I would not have, like, I would have spent so much time procrastinating it, so much time, you know, like getting stuck in the numbers, getting frustrated, when I can just send it over to them. They know what they're doing. They know what they're looking for. You can understand it because we have a conversation about it. So it's always, that's something I'm big on, is having a conversation going, okay, well, tell me, you know, having the standard operating procedure, the SOPs, they're easy to say, the SOPs, having these and going, I want to know how it's done. I don't want to know, like, I don't want to read all of that all the time, but I want an understanding of what you're up to. Just because I need to have it across. So the same with anything, you can't let it go. And I did mention to you the other day, Kat, and I'm going to have to start reading it again. I've read about half of it, but the E-Myth, which talks about the three different roles in the business. It's the CEO, the manager, and the technician. And the problem where businesses get stuck is they go into one role too much, and then they neglect the other roles. And what happens sometimes, though, is they outsource and hand over so much to that person. So they hand over so much to the manager that they have no longer any understanding of how the business runs. And so then they can't see where there are issues or where things are not being done properly. And then all of a sudden they come back into their business, or that person leaves and they're like, whoa, what was all this going on? And so there is a level of having a touch point, and that's a balance, and that you find that with finding the right person. And something you said before I really appreciate about you, and we've had discussions about it, is that integrity and also that freedom of going, I'm not locking you into a 10-year contract. Like, that your business needs and your business will change, and that's okay. And there's a reason and a season. It doesn't have to be a lifetime.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I did shoot myself in the foot a little bit because I used to offer 30-day trials, which sounds like a really good idea, because like a job interview, you could perform really well on the day, but then after a while realize you're not a good fit. You know, maybe you don't get on, maybe your values don't align, maybe the job you thought you were doing isn't quite, you know, what you agreed when you had your first discovery call. But I've realized now that it's up to me to really go into those meetings knowing exactly what I stand for my business, exactly what my skill set is, and exactly who I want to support, which is female coaches who are building communities and platforms and want to help change the world as best as they can. So by giving a 30-day trial, it's like I'm saying to the world, oh, but you know, maybe I'm not good enough and maybe you can walk away, because it was coming from the wrong place. It was kind of like doubting myself of, like, I'm giving them an out in case they don't like me or in case I don't deliver. which is ridiculous because, of course, I can deliver. I'm skilled at this. I've been doing it. It's not just, oh, yeah, I've had business 2.5 years, which doesn't seem that long, but I've got so many years behind me of other things to with corporate that I learned these skills. So what I've done now is with my ongoing retainers, it's a 3-month minimum. Not only does it protect myself and obviously counteract the fact that I thought I wasn't very good, and I am, I'm very good at my job. Okay. It's also like, as an OBM, what people need to realize, if you want something fixed in your business, changed in your business, you want a skill in your business, it's not a day. It doesn't happen in a day. And even 3 months sometimes it's not possible, depending on what your business is and where you want to go. But that 3 month gives us a 90-day sprint to go, okay, what is the focus? So at least we can focus on doing one thing in the business and getting that done. And then if it's like, okay, it doesn't fit, or actually I don't need you anymore, wonderful. But it was 3 months to really get some work done. And that was a big learning curve. And I've only just brought that in with my rebrand. And I'm kind of shocked that I never thought about it that way before. But I'm constantly working on my mindset, my skill set. And I know the value I have to give is really good and up there. But I still doubt myself sometimes. So it's removing that and knowing that I'm going to stick in my lane and work with the people who are going to value my skills.
I'm so glad you talked about that mindset, like, because I think people, you know, and you're looking amazing online, and we'll come back to that rebrand. It's looking incredible. And you are, you know, whenever I've talked to you, you are confident and, you know, present really well, and you know your shit. But we all have those moments of doubt and, checking our value and checking our worth. And there's so many stories that play into that. And so I'm so glad you said that, because I think people can look at everyone else and go, well, but they're doing so great over there. It's like, yeah, but they've got their own challenges. They have their own days. They've had to work through that. You don't know, you know, yes, Kat's only had a business for 2.5 years, but as she said, she's got 14 years behind that, you know? So I'm glad you recognize as well those skills. I think so often I see with my clients that they start a new thing. It's not a new thing, it's 2.5 years, but when they start the new thing, that they don't acknowledge that they actually have all these expertise, this knowledge, you know, this experience that they take into it. It's just that you're putting it under a new name. You've put a different label on it, you know, the VA to the OBM, you know. It's like, yeah, I've got a lot of those skills within it, but I'm going to the next level. So not getting so caught in the now and caught in the titles of, oh, I was corporate and now I'm in my own business, so it's all out the window. Like, no, just bring those things in.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of skills are transferable. My boyfriend, you know, he thinks, oh, I'm going to go for another job, but I'm not skilled, I don't have this. And I can say, describe one day in your work to me now. And I'll go, right, that's a transferable skill for this. Or actually, that shows you have this. And then you've done this. And it's like, it's not like lying. It's reframing the way you think about it. Because sometimes the skills you think, oh, it doesn't look exactly like this thing. It doesn't look exactly like this word. Or it doesn't look exactly like this skill. It's like, well, actually, sometimes it doesn't have to be. You know, I think we kind of are still in the archaic thing of, you go to university, you get this degree, you got a job that relates to that degree, and that's what you have to do. I trained as a performer. I spent my days doing ballet and singing in an okay range and trying to act with this accent, which was very difficult. And then when I left university, I went, all right, cool, what do I do now? Right, and then I went to a call center because I needed a job. And then I ended up being corporate and learning different things and going different skills and doing acting on the side. And when I went to like job interviews, pretty much every interviewer, oh, you're a performer. Why are you here? Oh, I need a job. maybe not that blunt, but it was a case of like, it was either 9 grand a year, possibly by being an actor, but I didn't believe in myself enough to really go for it. So I went to corporate where I thrived because I found a skill set I didn't know I had. But at university, I got A's in my essays. I got A's in my assignments because I was really good at the written side. Performance, I just give it a crack and see if it landed. But it's like, but then that skill of being a performer, I'm very confident now. I show up my business. I can go on socials. I can be in the room and put my hand up for things. So in a way, it's not wasted. It gives me all these different levels of skills and confidence and being out there and being myself that some people probably wouldn't have because they didn't study that, if that makes sense.
Yes, and I didn't know that about you. I love asking fun facts. That's such a great fact. And no wonder I did get that, you know, lovely presentation and confidence. But I've also seen you be extremely vulnerable, heard So back to podcasts, you were on the fabulous Erica Kramer's Queen of Confidence podcast, and you shared really around the time of you starting your business, you know, and I tend to see that people do go through a bit of a life change and that goes, maybe I'll start a business. So you went through quite a tumultuous time to get there. Do you mind sharing?
So I'm originally in Australia because of past partners. So I was living here because of that. And it wasn't the best relationships I've ever had in my life, I will say. My problem is for the past 20 years or so, I've kind of dated the same person who looked slightly different, but the way they treated me was not the best way to treat a partner. And I ended up in a situation in a relationship where I was treated very poorly. It really affected my mental health. I was, which I wasn't aware of at the time, I was actually a victim of domestic violence, because a lot of people assume that unless they're hitting you, it's not DV, which is something I had to learn. And so I was, and obviously we went through that thing for 2 years, which I don't like to say the word because, you know, especially in Melbourne, it lasted forever, that I was locked in a place with somebody who I shouldn't have been around. And I did start my business at the time. And it's no lie to say that it saved me in terms of it gave me a reason to get up every day. It was a way to just shut out some of the pain because I got to spend my days working with these amazing businesswomen, these coaches, and support them so they could support other women. And by hiring me and working with me, none of them realized that they give me a reason to go on to the next day. And I didn't realize myself at the time, but I would get up. So I would get up at 5 a.m. sometimes just to have a few hours alone where I could just sit and just get so absorbed in my business. And it was literally a lifeline. I had support from, you know, my amazing coach, Erica, and my sisterhood. And like personally, I had my friends and stuff, but the business was, it was the one thing I had that was mine and it couldn't be taken away by anybody, even if I was living in the same house as somebody who was not very supportive. It was such an escape. I mean, some people might escape into, you know, drugs and alcohol or computer games or something like that. But my business was just an escape, but in a way to support other people. It supported me. And I look back and think, wow, I had no idea. Like I almost think if I hadn't started the business, what would have become of me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very grateful to every single person that had me back on that day because sometimes I didn't perform the best and I couldn't tell them why. So, yeah, I'm very grateful they stuck it out with me.
Oh, well, it's incredible. And I understand the sanctuary side of the business. And, businesses are more than just money. You know, I think people who start businesses, you can't just do it for the money because sometimes there isn't a lot of money.
Yes.
And you can't just do it for passion. I know some people talk about it. I'm very passionate about my business, but you can't live on passion. So there needs to be other side, you know, senses of fulfillment. But to have something that's your own, I think is something that, you know, that you created this, that you made this, that you're creating the life that you want to live. That is something so powerful. I know it drives me. And when I see other people doing it, I'm so excited. Like that, yeah, that lights me up. That's so exciting. And to hear you share that story, I'm of course getting emotional. you are supporting people and, but, you know, likewise, it's nice to think of that. I think sometimes people don't realize that when you're hiring someone, yes, they're helping you, but you also can be helping them. It's two-way street.
Yeah. Big shout out to two clients, Anna and Emily, who have been with me pretty much since the beginning of my business anyway. But they were the two clients that knew everything that was going on with me and actually just stuck by me. Like even when I wasn't really able, I mean, I went from a 10K month, 10 clients to two clients and pretty much no money because I just couldn't, I'd left the relationship and I was homeless and I had no money and I couldn't focus. And they stuck with me and went, you know, whatever you can do, I'm going to keep paying you. I'm with you. You'll get through it. Supported me in ways that I can't even get into on this call. And they're still with me now. And it's like, I don't forget that kind of support. And it's not expected. It's not like every client should be like that. Every business should be like that. And I'm not saying like we're best friends. I'm just saying that they, as a woman, as a business owner, as somebody with who's cared and supported me, they were able just to be there, like in a different way to friends and family. And I'm forever grateful. and it's created a bond that, yeah, it can't be broken. Like it's again, without them, I'm not quite sure I would have been able to continue the business. I was able to grow it back, but if they had pulled out as well, my business likely would have collapsed. I don't think I would have got back to it.
And there's a human side to it, you know. I think, yeah, you know, that's something that I'm so passionate about too, is that we just can't separate the professional and the personal, and the time that we're not, you know, the Voldemort, the time that shall not be spoken. You know, we saw that, and I've always seen that. So you said you working from home was a weird thing. I've always worked from home, but I used to have to prove it. And so what I love about that time is that now working from home is normalized. And it's like, yeah, I've been doing it all along. But it's like, we just can't, like, we can't silo ourselves. We can't segregate ourselves into this professional worky person. And then, oh, my personal life's over here. It's like, of course, all those personal stories. And I've just got off the back of, you know, I love her, Denise Tuffield Thomas, I'm in Money Bootcamp, and how, yeah, these stories from our childhood or these things that are happening in our personal life, these family relationships, directly impact our business. And I had a story come up this week of someone, you know, an issue happening that was something that had played out in family, and then a colleague coming at me in my private DMs saying something. It was like, whoa, that's totally that playing out there, which is then impacting my business. And that's where, like you said before, the mindset piece is so important. But yeah, people come and go, oh no, I just want to work with you, I just want to do work, let's just talk about work today. And it's like, but you've got life stuff, and why are we, yeah, working if not to provide for our life? Like, it's all connected. So
yeah, I had a client a while ago, and after a couple of weeks it just wasn't working out. I wasn't in a great place because I was being bullied by another client, which I didn't realize was happening at the time. So I do still attract similar behaviors from, you know, people like my ex. It's still something I'm working on, because I am a bit of a people pleaser. I'm a bit of a pushover sometimes. And so this new client, I eventually came honest and went, look, this is exactly what's happening. Like, I apologize profusely. My performance has not been on par. But this, and I'm like, I didn't expect it, and this is why. And I'm so sorry, I take full responsibility. And I was met with this stone cold wall of like, and I was like, wow, okay. I was like, okay, that's absolutely fine. So you know what? I'll refund. We'll end our partnership. I'll help you find someone else. And it's like, I'm not like, I did take responsibility. I'm not saying like, pay me and I'll do a bad job. It's not me. I was absolutely beside myself that I did a bad job, because it's not me. But to be met with such a indifference, I was like, oh. And it made me realize, oh, when I go on this discovery call, I need to be a bit clearer about who I am and what I expect from the people I work with as well. Because if it was the other way around, all right, cool, how can I support you? What do you need? Like, one, I'm in a project right now and the person has taken a break for 6 weeks. And I've allowed, you know, I've said, that's absolutely cool, come back when you're ready. Because I know there's something going on for them. It's, yeah, that understanding of, you know, you don't want to like take the mick, you don't want to do a bad job. But we, like you say, we all have these personal things going on, and I don't perform like that. There was a reason for it, and I took ownership, but it was just like, they did not care. And I was surprised, because I'm in such a community of women who are so supportive and lovely. I kind of forget other people aren't like that.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit spoiled sometimes. I'm like, oh, why aren't you a bit more like nice and, you know, very personal development? And, oh, yeah, okay, cool. So yeah, yeah, that was a shock.
Maybe that's, but, a proviso, you know, must do personal development.
Must do personal development to work with me.
Must be working through their stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. First question, are you doing the work?
Yeah, are you doing the work? Do you know what the work is? No? Okay, then we're done. You said about being a pushover, and I actually introduced you to my VA team the other week, and I said, just like my husband has a healthy fear of sharks, I have a healthy fear of cat.
Oh, being compared to a shark, I like that. That's the thing. Yeah, it's I used to be really scary. People were very afraid of me growing up. I have kind of have an edge to me. I think it was because of the relationships I was in. Some of them I had to really hold my own. But it's interesting, because I do get that kind of, a lot of people make an impression of me when they first meet me. I must have a resting bitch face or something. Especially, I think it was in corporate, a lot of people would say, oh, I didn't know you were actually nice. I'm like, what? I'm sorry, what? So it's a weird thing of like, yeah, I think I have different parts of my personality, but I think sometimes I get into what people please, and have, yeah, it's found that balance between they really need help and actually they are just taking the mick out of you. And, you know, I get it from probably family relationships as well, of just trying to keep the peace a lot. But you know, if I'm got strict boundaries with you, all right, I've got with them with one client at least. That's good. No, I'm kidding.
No, and it's good because you respect it. And yeah. I know I've had issues in the past where I've had over delivery. I have a tendency to over deliver. That's the nurturing, caring side of me, but it doesn't serve anyone in the end. No. Like, lack of boundaries doesn't serve anyone. So, but you know, you're not, like I said, a healthy fear. Like, what I needed and what I asked for was accountability. I hired you because I need accountability. I hired you because I need someone to say no to me sometimes. Otherwise, if you say yes, 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 and try to do all the things, that's another one of me. You know, I needed that no. I need that, come on, we said we're going to focus. Like, I actually asked for that. And so that was something I really liked that I saw in you. I was like, oh, she ain't going to take shit. And I'm like, she's going to take my bullshit. I'm like, okay, cool. That's, you know, but in a loving, kind way. And you just as much, if I have a bad day, not going to be like, Emma, you said you'd do this thing. It's like, but when I do need to be kind of like, come on, that's what I needed. And, you know, I think we'll come to your rebrand. I think that's reflecting that. Like, you're a bit of a badass. Like, you are. It's very bold. You've got these purple, blacks and greens. Very bold. Please go and have a look. It's looking amazing. You said it, I think it's feeling very you. I can see that because of how much you're sharing it. A bit edgy, and it's very clear. I think it's really clear who you are.
Yes, I think when I was coming up with it, it was edgy rock zombie goddess, and I was like, oh hell yeah, let's put a crown on that thing. it's interesting because I think I fell into that trap of when you start a business, like, I come from a corporate background, like, I didn't know what a brand was, how to make one. I just kind of followed what everyone else was doing, which I think is some of us do, particularly for my business with VAs and OBMs. Everyone is sat on a kitchen bench with a laptop in front of them, or like gazing off in the distance at this beautiful house. It was very much like, all right, cool, I'll do that because that's what's expected of you, that's how my pictures should look. And even the day of the shoot, I was like, this doesn't feel right, this is not okay. I mean, obviously, in a personal life, I wasn't in a good space, but I just sat with it. I was like, I'll just pick this purple. I'll use that purple. Didn't really think much about it. And then just worked and didn't have a website because, you know, I didn't feel the need to have one. And I kept putting off of like, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what I'm going to offer. So I kind of just muddled through and I did get clients though, which was fantastic because obviously I think working with me, I did really well through word of mouth and things like that. But when I started to really like get on podcasts and stuff, I thought I cannot send people to this milkshake website that I created like a year ago. Like, it's just not okay. It's time to take this serious. So I did an intensive for 3 months. Well, my biggest issue was how much of you can you bring into your brand so you can connect but not polarize? And the reason it was so difficult for me is because, you know, in real life, I go to rock music concerts and I worship horror. Like, on my mantelpiece, I've got a Freddy Krueger statue and a Pennywise like head bust. Anyone who doesn't know that, that's horror films. One of them's a clown. It's terrifying. But it's like, it's just stuff I really like, and I went into it, and I go to horror conventions. I write for a horror website. I'm a professional scare actor. I get paid to scare people. And it was like, I really want my business to reflect me and bring out things that I enjoy. But at the same time, I can wear an Iron Maiden t-shirt and still rock the hell out of your systems and still know how to strategize your launch. But I was like, well, people take me seriously if I'm not in the suit. Well, people take me seriously if I don't have this professional photograph where I'm sat, you know, on a lounge stool with a coffee. And I, because a lot of people have judged me in co-working spaces. A lot of people judge me at business networking events because I'll walk in a Nightmare on Elm Street bomber jacket and they don't know how to put me in a bracket. And so I was like, well, actually, I don't fit in a bracket. I never have in real life anyway. So I was like, all right, screw it. So working with my brand designer, working with my web designer, working with my copywriter, I managed to kind of create something where I could be myself, but at the same time show my expertise, which is obviously what you can see in my rebrand now. And that photo session I did was just so much fun because that's the thing. I'm wearing an Iron Maiden t-shirt, but you see, I'm laughing my head off. And I wear my hair in bunches because I've got short hair and I can't do much with it. You know what I mean? It was just fun. And I was like, business should be fun. It's hard. It's lonely. It can be a slog. You have up months, you have down months. But the big element should be it's fun. It's one of my values. And if you're not having fun in your business, I'm sorry, but I think you're doing something wrong.
Yes.
And it's something I had to learn. And Yeah, it was just awesome. And it was like my graphic designer like brought in the color green. I never would have thought of it. And I was like, oh my God, green, kind of zombies. Oh, kind of looks
Yeah,
like, you
horror.
know, some sort of gross toxic sewage. I was like, oh, that sounds like me. I mean, she had to rein me back. I would have had spills everywhere. But yeah, it was really fun, but it came at the right time for me. I don't think I could have done it any sooner. But now it's just like, oh, I just live and breathe and it's amazing.
What's the URL? Well,
So the URL is kathlouisedunn.com, and that's cat with a C.
love it. Well, and one of the, yeah, I'm like so holding back to go into coaching mode because you said how much can you bring of you into your brand and not polarize? So I'm going to turn that into a either a podcast episode or a live or something because that's such a great,
it.
it's such a great question. And it's something that even I have to go with because, and people could, yes, hear about you and then be like, why is she working with Emma who's like, rainbow vomit behind her and literally unicorns that like on my desk, like just
Oh,
and
that's
stuff
cute.
like but that value that you said, we both share that value of fun, and we both have a value of we both have an integrity, we both have professionalism is very important to us, and I totally get it because yes, my look is different, like it's rainbow unicorns, sparkles, sequins, but it's like yes, I can wear rainbow unicorn tights to speak, and I'm still a professional.
Yes.
You can wear a leather jacket and an I made a t-shirt to meet me, and I'm like, I still know that you're doing my job. We're still going to talk very professionally about the work that we're doing together. And so I think yes, on the outside, the packaging might look like, oh gosh, how do these two fit? But it's because of those that value alignment. Even I think with Emily's, and I've known Emily for 11 years. And so I already liked you. And then I heard you on the podcast. And I was like, well, if she's working with Emily, then hot damn, I need that girl in my business. Emily is a gun and brilliant. But yeah, she's all pink. It's all light pink. And she's lovely, very, like totally different look to you. But I absolutely see and understand how you work together because I know her. I know her values. I know you now. And yeah, I think there's that. And so, but, I love that the way that you've kind of navigated that, bringing you into the business, and I will definitely tackle that question further because it's like, I think people there's that thing of going, I am my business, but then it's not like there is a slight separation, and it's more about infusing your business with you. It's like in, giving it the essence of, whilst obviously still having some things that are very you, like. They're personal. You're not going to tell us everything through that business, and that's nice. You can have that.
And the crossover even happens, like, you know, I might go to a rock festival and I start talking to somebody and they have a business idea. So I forget the band's playing because I spend the next 20 minutes giving business advice. It's
Yeah.
almost like it's another, like, because I'm being myself, I'm dressed like me and I feel like me. And it's like, oh, cool. All right. I'm just going to, and I warp into it and I'm like, oh, cool. So that's how I get fit, because it's like you don't lose one or the other. It's just, you know, like finding that balance between probably oversharing or, but like you say, yeah, a lot of my clients don't, I mean, nobody likes horror films. I can't find anyone likes horror films. Horror movies, I should say. But I'm like, so doesn't mean I can't work together. Tell me if best, you know, rom-com. You know, I'm pretty sure I've seen it. I like The Wedding Singer. Do you know what I mean? But it's just like,
Yeah.
it's not all and everything I am. It's just one thing I really like. I don't watch reality TV shows, and some people do. I'm not gonna not work with you because you like to watch, I don't know, maps or something like that. It's fine. It's just, but it's something about you I know that I can relate to or talk to. And telling people you're a professional scare actor or that you like horror films starts more conversations than you think. So it's a really good icebreaker.
It really does, yes. And yes, we've had conversations about that for sure. But it's just, yeah, it's a start, a conversation starter. And you don't want to just save that networking for networking events. And again, it's like going to a networking event. I'm going to talk about my business. It's like I want to hear about you. Like my opening question a lot of times is like, what's your favorite food? What's your favorite color? Like I probably connect to you. I love the purple as well. So like I'm going to connect on that point. One tiny thing which seems inconsequential, but you go, oh, I like purple. You like purple. Oh, okay. Well, what do you do now that we're here? And then it goes from there. So I love that you are not afraid to talk about work outside of work. Because yeah, if you like someone, why wouldn't you work with them?
Yes, exactly.
I love it. I think we've covered everything. I could talk to you. You and I, this is our problem. We have meetings and we just could talk forever. So,
Should we talk about work right now? Oh, yeah, that's okay. Sorry, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're on a podcast. We just start talking about our weekly agenda. But no, I really valued you coming into my business, Kat, but I've also really enjoyed getting to know you directly and via the various channels, even in the since the first time I saw you in December through One Roof. I've seen you grow and I love it, and the message that you're sharing and your story that you're sharing, I know it's going to help other people, so please keep doing that. It's really important. A question, a new one that I'm loving and I want to share, ask you, it's my you yep. probably the first person, is my mission is to live a life I love. So how are you, and I think we've heard a little bit about how are you with your business, with everything you're doing right now, how are you living a life you love and working towards the life that you love?
It's definitely, the start is definitely now working with clients that I'm definitely more aligned with, being a bit more specific and picky about who I actually want to bring into my business world, and trusting that the people that they support and the vision that they have aligns with my own. So definitely working with that. I still struggle a bit with work-life balance, I suppose. You know, you can sit on your laptop all day. But it's like I started my own business because I want to work from home, but I also want the freedom to make my own schedule. And so it's making sure I stick to that schedule. I'm a manifesting generator. I do so many things. I share my weekly updates on a Friday. And when people look at my list, they're like, how on earth do you do all that? I'm like, I don't actually know. But I think it's like having this really varied life. I get really stagnant. I get stuck if I do the same thing too often. That's why working with different clients really helps me, because obviously they've got different businesses and stuff. But then I'm also a writer. I like to dance, I like to move, I like to go to the gym. I want to go on holiday. I need to be near the sea. So it's like learning the things that make me feel better and doing more of them. Like my boyfriend, when I go to his house, it feels like I'm on a holiday because it's by the sea. And because I don't live there, I get to just kind of drop in and spend time with him. And it's just doing the things that light you up. And remember why you started your business in the first place. It's not just to work from home in your pajamas. It's because I want to help women change the world. I want to help women have more money in their pocket, because more women with more money, more women with more impact, more women with more power can only be a good thing.
I love it. I love it. But I am in my pajamas, so.
No judgment. No judgment. You do you, boo. You do you.
Because that's the life that I love, and you're living the life
I'm wearing, that you I'm wearing a boy's tee. I'm wearing a boyfriend's tee. That's my usual style as well. So there you go. My hair's in bunches, you know.
I love it. Yeah. How do we connect with you, Kat? Tell us, where is best to find you? We've heard your website, but tell us everywhere.
So you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at Kat Louise Dunn. So it's Kat Louise Dunn across the board, website and socials.
I love it. And if someone, one more tip, if someone was looking to start sort of outsourcing or bringing someone into their business, what's one piece of advice you'd give them?
The best piece of advice I'm going to give you, and it's a bit of work to start with, is write down every single thing you do in your business or every single thing that needs to be done in your business, and then group the tasks according to what you absolutely have to do, what you can do but don't really want to do, what you can't do, i.e. it's not in your zone of genius, and everything extra. And then look at those tasks and see who's the best person to bring in. And if you're stuck and don't know if that's a virtual assistant or a social media manager or an OBM, feel free to reach out to me and I can give you some guidance for free.
And if you find that list hard to do,
it's very hard.
Book a one session with Kat. Yeah. Book the 1 hour with Kat.
You find it hard, let's do it together. Do because I have a black book of amazing, amazing people in all industries, and I highly recommend all of them.
Oh, you're brilliant. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for sharing so honestly. And thank you for what you're doing in my business. I feel very grateful for you.
Oh, I love working with you, Emma. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining me today for another episode of Live and Love Your Brand. I'm so grateful that you've shared your time by listening today. That means so much to me. And if you're loving what you're learning, I would be so appreciative if you'd leave a review, rate this podcast, and subscribe. It really shows me that you care, but it also helps other listeners to find us too. Again, please be sure to connect with me. I love hearing from you and getting to know your story. You can connect with me on Instagram at @lovelycomms, Facebook, Lovely Communications, and please do join the gorgeous community, Live and Love Your Brand, our Facebook group. Or if you're ready to take action now and want to improve how you show up in the world with your brand, then head on over to lovelycommunications.com. Again, lovely is L-O-V-E-L-L-Y, communications.com, to learn how you can work with me. My clients have gone on to experience opportunities that they could never have dreamed of. From starting businesses to taking leadership in their own life, they have found the confidence to stand in who they are and to go wholeheartedly after what they truly want in life. And I want that for you too. If you're ready to invest in yourself and reconnect with who you are, then let's chat. Thank you again for listening. Now go into the world and share the beauty that is the uniqueness of you. Catch you next week, lovely.